Father, thank you for your word. Just impart to us whatever, however much you want to say this morning, what you want to impart to us to draw us ever nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and say this together. We are authentic followers of Jesus. Therefore, we are his full-time students and learners. We do the stuff he did. We invite him to be Lord of every part of our heart. Amen. We're in our eighth hour of a series on self-centeredness. And look around. Isn't it exciting? There's not five or six. I mean, we want to walk the path that he wants us to walk. We want to live in him. And we've been looking at Jesus' call to follow him into selflessness. What we're talking about is living God-centered lives and others-minded. We're God-centered and others-minded. The stats are overwhelming in this country that those who think only of themselves are by far the most miserable. And there really are stats to back that up. People who think only of themselves or completely selfish are not happy people. They are most miserable. Andrew Womack said that the root or the source of all human grief and misery is self-centeredness. So I thought it might be fun that we do a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a little thing here that you might be self-centered if. You might be prideful if. You might be borderline narcissist if. And then as I was reading about yesterday, some teachings, and one teaching Stacy had sent me on a spirit of Jezebel, which is apparently a very narcissistic spirit. But anyway, are you ready? You might be self-centered and prideful if you're oversensitive to criticism. You have passive-aggressive comments. With that, like you might use intimidation to belittle someone. Hold grudges for a long time. Are you prone to jealousy or to be envious of others? How about this one? Sabotage others' work or relationships. If you always talk about yourself, if you're easily angered and offended. How about this one? You're never wrong. And I'll add to that, if you're sitting here thinking this is for somebody else, right? You're thinking, man, I hope my spouse is listening to this. That's why the next one is, if you didn't see yourself in any of these. And then I wrote a few others down that I got yesterday too. If you have an exaggerated sense of self-importance, if you expect to be recognized as superior, even without any achievements to match it, take advantage of others to get what you want. Yikes. Inability to recognize the needs or feelings of others. So anyway, thank you, Jesus, that in Christ we're none of those things. The real you, the true you by the Spirit, is none of those things. Let's go to Matthew 16, 24. This is the Amplified Bible. And sorry, guys, it locked up on me. Matthew 16, 24, if you guys could help me. Thank you. Oh, whoops. There we go. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, and that's who we are, amen? We're not church members. We're followers of Christ. We're students. We're learners of Jesus. Practitioners with him. If anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself, disregard himself, lose sight of himself, forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus clearly says we can't follow him unless we deny ourselves and take up our cross. Oh, thanks, brother. Take up our cross and follow him. But you don't hear this talked about a lot in church, and yet all four Gospels record what he said right there. You know, if any man tries to save his life, he'll lose it. That whole dialogue is in all four Gospels. But you don't hear it talked a lot about at church. We typically invite people to come to Christ. That's a joy. And then the joy of sins forgiven. How about free trip to heaven, details inside? Sounds easy, right? But when Jesus calls you to walk with him, it's not always going to be easy. And just like I've been experiencing, I'm going to be 50 years old in September. 50. Yep. I look 30 though, right? Amen. But even I'm going to be 50 in September, and he's still finding things that he says, Steve, you love that, but I don't love it. And I want you to die to that. So there is a death involved in following Jesus, and it's ours. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you heard of him? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German pastor and theologian. He was hanged in a Nazi concentration camp in 1945, but he was German. You can tell whose side he took. They hung him. And he said this before he died, when Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die. Salvation is free, but following Jesus as his disciple will cost you everything. Amen. That's what Jesus was trying to say. That if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you come and die with me, you'll find life. You'll find that you're made in the image of a God who is loving and giving. He is not selfish. He's not egocentric. He's not all about himself. Amen? How do you end up with the cross? Love is not self-centered. 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't demand its own way. And God doesn't just have love for you. God is love. If he has love for you, it can be measured. It could run out. If he has love, then he gives some to Lisa and some to Mary Bell, but now he has less because he just has some and he's doling it out. So he may not have much left for you. But God is love. So his loving you is tied to his very being, to his nature, his character. So if he ever doesn't love you, he ceases to be God. So what do we do with that? Well, I think you ought to start receiving it. It's not going to change. You're not going to move him off his love for you. He would cease to be himself. Amen, somebody. So he invites us to come and die, and it costs us everything. And I encourage you with that. It's kind of been a theme this morning. Ask the Lord, is there something you're inviting me to die to? Is there some part of my life that I love but you don't love? Because I want you to be Lord, not me. Amen, somebody? Philippians 3, 8 through 10. Look at this one. Message Bible. Yes, Paul says, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of what? Knowing Christ. Knowing him. That's an intimate knowing, an experiential knowledge of Christ as my master firsthand. Wow. What does that mean? Somebody else didn't tell me about him. I know him. This is what God desires for Grace Church. That every one of us know him personally. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dung. And yes, that means what you think it does. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. Experience his resurrection power. Be a partner in his suffering. Go all the way with him to death itself. Amen. Yeah. Sounds radical, but that's Christianity. Not the Western version we've known. That's Christianity. And he desires that we know him. How many of you sense his presence this morning? Whereas we just worshiped and praised him, he absolutely inhabits the praise of his people. Guess what? You can do that when you get home. You can experience him all day, every day. Church shouldn't be some kind of thing that's a substitute for knowing Christ personally. Amen. We talked last week that we made a commitment to ourselves and to the Lord that we don't come empty. That's not the goal. I'm coming full. The Lord is my shepherd, Noel's shepherd, Kyle's shepherd, Nikki's shepherd. Therefore, they're full. If Steve's the primary shepherd, Steve's not with them. So they have to wait till they're with Steve before they can be full. That's a lie. The Lord is your shepherd. Therefore, you come to church full. You come singing. You come dancing. You come praising. You come full because the Lord is my shepherd and I don't lack for anything. Amen. We have too many shepherds in the pulpit that make people dependent on them. My role is to make you dependent on Christ. He's your shepherd. And then you get to live and have church all day, every day. You get to be the church. Come on, clap your hands in this house. That's good preaching. Amen. We're going to follow him all the way, even unto death. And it's something we all decide. We can't leave this for somebody else. We all personally have to make the decision on how far we're going to go. I've said this the last 2 weeks. I'm going to say it again. We live in a day where we overemphasize the sermon. We overemphasize free trips to heaven. We overemphasize being a church member. And we've underemphasized whether anybody is actually walking with Jesus on a daily basis. We live in a day where churches have measured success by how much salt you have instead of how savory is it. Does it taste like Jesus? Let me tell you right now, he does not care anything about how many grains of salt are sitting in a church. He wants to know, has the salt kept its flavor? Does it taste like me? When people encounter you, do they taste and see that I am good? And he said of unsavory salt, it's not even fit to throw on the dunghill. You're wasting a good pile of dung when you put unsavory salt on it. That's what he said. So I'm going to say it again. Jesus desires that all of us taste like him. So we're going to get into, at some point, practical things that will allow us to really be seasoned with him. Because I want to help you. I want us to live it out. I'm not here to play church. I'm almost 50. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to get busy. Right, man? Now's not the time to be timid or worry what people think about you, man. Let's step up and step out. Amen. So I'm going to say it again. We live in a day where we overemphasize the sermon, trips to heaven, church membership. We underemphasize whether anybody's walking it out. And so what I sat with Jesus with on this week is this. How do we ensure our daily obedience to Jesus? How many of you think that's a good question? How many of you love the Lord? Amen. So if Brother Steve is going to share, how can we ensure daily obedience to what the Lord's asking me to do? That sounds like a time we might want to listen. We might want to pay attention. How about this? I also sat with him. How do we bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold? You remember the parable of the sower, which is in Matthew 13. We'll look at it here in just a minute, or the end of it. But I want to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. I don't want to be like the other three soils, men's hearts that allow other loves to get in there, right? Thorny ground. Stony ground. What's he saying? You're receiving, you're taking in other things into this chamber where I'm supposed to be blossoming. So how do we bear fruit 30, 60, and 100? Because I want to do that. How do we live as authentic Christ followers? When Annie gave that word, I don't know if you heard in that dissertation, that exhortation from the Lord, that he desires we be Christ followers, authentic disciples of Jesus. This is opposed to this idea. Hear me. I'm going to do my will, but I'm going to do it with God. God's with me, but I'm going to do what I want. Man, there's no life in that. I've lived it. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to recognize he's with me, but in the end, I'm just going to do kind of throughout the day what I want to do. I don't want us to live that way. Look at Matthew 13:13 through 15. Brother Mark, you might let Karen know we're going to be a little bit late today. Matthew 13. Therefore, I speak to them. This is Jesus. I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear nor understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you'll hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see, you'll not perceive. For what? For what? Their hearts. Do you see how your eyes and ears and whatever you're allowing through those chambers, those channels, is going to your heart? For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts. And look at this, turn, which literally means turn to the Lord so that I should heal them. Wow. Three modes of receiving I want you to really work on, dig out this week in your Bible. Dig out three modes of receiving. Your eyes, what are you looking at? Your ears, what do you listen to? And then your heart. With the heart, man believes. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. With the heart, man believes. So your eyes and ears are opened up to filter things into your heart that shape what you believe. Man, young people today, my heart breaks for young people. They have so much information coming through their eyes and their ears through media and phone and technology. What is that doing? It's shaping what they believe to be true in their heart. And listen, if it's not filtered, and we're pushing out darkness and deception and allowing the light of God's word to be what our eyes and our ears are attuned to, and we can be deceived. We can be absolutely deceived. You know, young people, there's an obsession in our culture with be who you want to be. Be who you are. The only problem with that is that we as humans can be deceived about who we think we are. God, the one who made you, who was there when he handcrafted you in your mama's womb, he cannot be deceived about who you are. So the truest thing about you is actually who he says you are, not what you think you are, what some teacher told you you are, or anything like that. Pay attention to what gets piped to you, because it sounds good. Yeah, be who you want to be who you think you are. You can be deceived. So if who you say you are doesn't line up with Scripture, doesn't line up with the character of Jesus Christ, doesn't line up with what the Holy Spirit is telling you, then run the other way. Matthew 6:23, if your eyes are unhealthy, Jesus said, your whole body will be full of darkness. Heart, man believes. Eyes, right, illuminate. If your eyes are full of darkness, your whole body will be full of darkness. If it's full of light, illuminate on the inside. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So there's three modes of receptivity here. And guys, we are receptive creatures. You are not self-generative. You do not have your own expression. You'll always express what you derive from your receiving mechanisms. I don't know if you're getting that, but we're derivative beings. We're going to derive our expression from a source. Where do you get that, preacher? You're a branch. So you're going to reveal. You don't produce fruit, you reveal it. And it reveals who you're connected to. Amen, amen, amen. So that's why receiving is a natural thing. Jesus said, if you can't get the parable of the sower, you won't ever understand anything that I'm telling you. Because you're branches, so you're going to reflect that which you are receiving. Brother Roger had a prophetic word earlier. Don't sit there and stare at your sin and your bad habits and think, how am I going to change it? Turn your receivers on to Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes, ears, and heart to him who he says you are and his word. Amen. And you will be transformed. Come on, give him praise in this house. You get transformed by beholding the glory and beauty of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Does this make sense to you? We need to get it. If you can't get this one, you can't get anything, he said. So who are we giving these to? Are we staying connected to Jesus in all these areas? Let me go ahead and get into the message. How do we ensure our obedience to Jesus every day? How do we bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold? How do we live as authentic Christ followers? Father, I pray that those who have ears to hear, Lord, those who hunger and thirst for you, will open their hearts to receive what you want to speak to them in Jesus' name. Number one, are you abiding? You say, Pastor Steve, you talk about that a lot. Yeah, with good reason. You're a branch. Wouldn't that, that's one of the great missing revelations in the body of Christ is that we're branches. I mean, just study. I know I already gave you something to study. Study that too. What's the characteristics of healthy branches? They stay connected. They stay receiving. Amen. So what is abiding? It's living connected to Jesus. You're going to live connected to him. John 15:5, Jesus said, abide in me because without me or apart from me, you can do nothing. Add to that, you should do nothing. Don't do anything apart from him. If you're stuck in traffic, live connected to him. Come on, amen. Amen. If your spouse is yelling at you, live connected to him. Amen. If you fail to test, young people, live connected to him. We need to be, you know, you guys know people who are quick triggered in the flesh. We don't want to be that way. We want to be quick triggered to the Spirit. We're living so connected to him, we're able to respond in Christ rather than react in the flesh. So abiding is staying connected via these three receiving modes of receiving. Who and what are you beholding? That's your eyes. Who and what are you listening to? That's your ears. Who and what is taking root in your heart on a daily basis? That is abiding, church. Stay connected to him in your heart. Stay connected to him with your eyes. Stay connected to him with your ears. And this is a very practical thing because we all have good hearts. We love him. But when we go throughout our day, we end up putting our eyes and ears in other places. All right? And I realize we need to do our tasks, right? We have a job. But you got to stay connected. And whenever you go on break or whatever, just get some scripture. Get a truth and put some worship on. Amen. And keep your eyes and ears and heart connected to him. That's what abiding is. Talk a lot about it, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. How about this one? Are you intentionally walking with other disciples? Well, you're here. I already told you, we're not church members, we're disciples. Okay? But beyond this, on Sunday morning, I love Sunday morning. But you need people walking with you throughout the week. Brother Larry Harp, who I walk with on Monday nights. We've got about 8 or 9 men that we walk together and hold each other accountable. The Lord gave me several of these practicals about 3 a.m. this week, but I did put out a couple of group me's and got some input. Larry Harp said, how I ensure daily obedience to Jesus is I have daily accountability to him and the disciples that are around me. The top two things when I put this out, how do you ensure, you know, bearing fruit, walking in obedience to Jesus on a daily basis? Abiding was number one and walking with other disciples, number two. So we need good people around us walking in community. Why? Because you're going to become like the people you hang out with. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. So we need to pay attention to who we're hanging out with. Number three, are you sitting with the Bible and its author? Why do I say, are you sitting with the Bible? How many of you think the Bible is important to our growth? Amen. Timothy says, the book of Timothy says that all scripture, everybody say all scripture.
All scripture.
How much?
All
scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, instruction, and training in righteousness. The scripture is very important. We are spirit-filled people. Amen. Somebody give me an amen. We are spirit-filled, spirit-led people. But we need the scriptures to provide balance. Because otherwise, you know, Marlon might walk in and say, Lord told me to take D and we're going to rob 7-Eleven. Marlon, that's not in scripture. Everybody say boundaries.
Boundaries.
Scripture gives us spirit-led, spirit-filled people. Good boundaries. Amen. Amen. Very important. See, because you'll hear me quote John 5:39-40. Jesus said, you pore over the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but you refuse to come to me. So the purpose of the scriptures is to bring you to the author. Okay, so we can't just elevate scripture and have no life, no spirit, and no author, the one who wrote it. I mean, if you look back through history, people have taken just the letter of this book and killed people with it. Okay, just shooting straight with you. So we got to have the spirit of the one who wrote it and interpret it together. And I think that's a good part of community too, because iron sharpens iron. That's one of the great things of Monday night, is when we just get together and hash over scripture. It's great to hear other perspectives. And stay humble in it. Stay humble. Stay teachable all the time. Always be teachable. Okay. So I know we're running out of time. I got through 3 of them. I got 10 of them. But there's always next week though, right? Let me give you a last one for today. Number 4. Here it is. And Gavin, you guys can come. If those who are serving communion, if you'll ready yourselves, ushers and so forth, we're going to take communion. Number 4, are you agreeing with who God says you are? Now, this is very important. I've had a personal revelation in my own life that, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. And Jesus has worked me over, because I was one more prone to believe that my behavior determined who I really was and whether I was right with God. So me being the righteousness of God was a tremendous revelation. But now in this season, I'm in this revelation of, I'm not just righteous, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower and a learner and a practitioner of Jesus. And so I want us to have proper identity of who we really are. And that we aren't just church people and all that. We're actually students and followers of Jesus. I find it very empowering and disciplining when I agree with who he says I am. Ephesians 4 verse 24 says this. Put off the old man and put on the new. And what that means is, I want you to identify yourself as the new creation on a regular basis. The more you see yourself the way God sees you, sin free, pure, set apart from the world, different, the more you're going to live that way. Does that make sense? So what do we do then? Well, I want to make sure my eyes, my ears, and my heart are always cultivating and receiving who God says I am. And then I'm not just holy, I'm actually a practitioner. I'm following Jesus on a daily basis. Will you stand with me? What we're going to do this morning, I know it's been mentioned about the divine exchange. If you have something on your heart that you want to lay at the altar with the rest of these, there's 3x5 cards in front of you. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the stirring of our hearts this day. What a move today. What a move today. I just pray, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, that we'd really see ourselves as disciples. We would repent of all self-centeredness. We would repent of any pride, self-protection, self-importance, and we lay ourselves at your feet. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, ushers, go ahead and direct.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.